Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Andrew first started spending weekends at his Aunt Diane's house a few weeks after his Uncle Tom died. Tom had been Kyle's father, and his death had shaken the entire family. Everyone worried about Kyle, but Diane worried the most. She worked nights at a care facility and hated the idea of her son spending entire weekends alone in the house while she was gone. A few weeks after the funeral, she asked Andrew if he would come over on weekends and keep Kyle company. Andrew agreed immediately. He and Kyle had always been close. They were only a few years apart in age, and even before Tom's death, they spent plenty of weekends together playing video games, watching terrible monster movies, and staying up far too late talking about haunted places they wanted to visit someday. They were both at that age where they liked ghost stories enough to seek them out, but they still believed the truly strange things happened somewhere else, not in houses they knew, not to people they loved. The first few weekends at Diane's house felt almost normal. That surprised Andrew. He expected the house to feel heavy with grief, and in some ways it did. Tom's absence was everywhere, if anyone stopped long enough to notice it. His chair sat empty in the living room. His work boots remained by the back door because no one wanted to move them. Every now and then, Diane would begin to say something to him before remembering he wasn't there. Still, the weekends themselves were easier than Andrew expected. He and Kyle built small routines around the sadness. They played old video games until their eyes burned. They watched late-night shows about UFOs, ghosts, and strange disappearances. They made fun of bad monster movies while eating cereal from mixing bowls because Diane kept forgetting to buy snacks. Most Saturday nights ended the same way, with both of them camping out in the living room after the television went quiet. Kyle usually took the couch. Andrew slept on the floor in a sleeping bag. Diane's bedroom sat at the end of the hallway that connected to the living room. She always kept the door shut when she left for work. Her shift ran from 10 at night until 7 in the morning. So the boys were usually alone in the house until sunrise. That arrangement didn't bother Andrew. The house never felt creepy. If anything, it felt painfully ordinary. That was why the first strange night caught him completely off guard. It happened after one of their usual Saturdays. Diane left for work a little before 10, reminding them to lock the door and not stay up all night. They promised they wouldn't, and then immediately stayed awake for hours watching old paranormal television shows and terrible monster movies. By the time they finally turned the television off, Kyle was already half asleep. Andrew crawled into his sleeping bag, pulled a blanket over himself, and expected to fall asleep almost immediately. Sometime later, he woke to the sound of a creak. At first, he kept his eyes closed. The noise was faint enough that he thought it might have been part of a dream. The house was old enough to make occasional sounds at night, and he was already drifting back towards sleep when he heard it again. This time it lasted longer. The sound seemed to come from the hallway. Andrew opened his eyes and stared into the darkness. For several seconds, he saw nothing unusual. A strip of pale light from a street lamp filtered through the curtains, giving just enough illumination to make out the furniture. Kyle was asleep on the couch. The television sat dark and silent. Everything looked exactly as it should. Then he heard a door close. The sound came from down the hallway, and Andrew immediately assumed Diane had come home early from work. It was the only explanation that made sense. Maybe she wasn't feeling well. Maybe something had happened during her shift. He listened for more sounds, expecting to hear footsteps or movement somewhere else in the house, but everything remained quiet. Then the creak returned. This time he watched the hallway. Slowly, Diane's bedroom door began to open. Andrew felt a chill run through him. The room beyond the doorway was completely dark. For a moment, nothing happened. Then something moved inside the room. A figure slowly leaned around the edge of the doorframe, and Andrew couldn't make out a face. He couldn't even tell if it was a man or a woman. All he could see was the outline of a person standing partly hidden behind the door. For a second, he wondered if his eyes were playing tricks on him. Then the figure raised one hand and lifted his single finger to where its mouth should have been. The meaning was unmistakable. It was telling him to be quiet. Andrew froze. The figure didn't move toward him or make a sound. It simply remained there, half concealed behind the bedroom door, holding the gesture as though it expected him to understand. His first instinct was to wake Kyle. He reached toward the couch and whispered his cousin's name, but there was no response. He tried again, slightly louder this time, and still Kyle remained asleep. His cousin had always been a heavy sleeper, but Andrew had never wanted someone awake so badly in his life. When he looked back toward the hallway, the figure was still there. For several long seconds, neither of them moved. The silence inside the house felt overwhelming. Andrew could hear only the pounding of his own heartbeat as he stared at the dark shape standing at the end of the hall. Then the figure slowly withdrew into the bedroom. A moment later, the door began to close. The familiar creak echoed through the hallway until the latch clicked softly into place. After that, nothing happened. The hallway sat empty, and the house returned to complete silence. Andrew remained awake for the rest of the night. Every few minutes, he found himself looking toward the hallway, expecting the door to open again. Never did. Morning eventually arrived, and sunlight poured through the living room windows as though nothing unusual had happened. Kyle woke first, and Diane returned from work shortly after 7. The house quickly settled into its normal routine. At breakfast, Andrew finally told them what he had seen. Kyle laughed when Andrew described the figure, while Diane looked more tired than concerned. Both of them assumed he had been dreaming. Andrew insisted he hadn't. He described the door opening, the figure, and the gesture. Diane listened patiently before shaking her head and explaining that she always locked her bedroom door before leaving for work. Not only that, but the door stuck badly. Even when it was unlocked, it had to be pushed hard before it would open. To prove her point, she walked down the hallway with both boys following behind her. The bedroom door was still locked. After unlocking it, she pushed against the warped frame until it finally gave way with a long creak. Andrew immediately recognized the sound. It was exactly what had woken him during the night. Diane shrugged and told him he must have been half asleep. She was exhausted from another overnight shift and clearly had no interest in debating ghost stories before bed. After a few more minutes, she disappeared into her room and closed the door. Kyle lingered in the hallway. For several seconds, neither of them spoke. Andrew watched his cousin carefully, thinking back to the expression he had seen at the breakfast table. It hadn't looked like disbelief. If anything, it had looked like recognition. Finally, Andrew asked whether anything like that had ever happened before. Kyle didn't answer immediately. Instead, he glanced toward the bedroom door. The hesitation lasted only a few seconds, but it was long enough to tell Andrew everything he needed to know. When Kyle finally shrugged and said no, Andrew knew he was lying. Andrew spent the entire drive home thinking about Kyle's reaction. The sighting itself was unsettling enough, but it wasn't what bothered him most. What stayed with him was that brief hesitation in the hallway. Kyle hadn't looked confused. He hadn't looked skeptical. He had looked caught. The more Andrew replayed the conversation, the more convinced he became that his cousin knew exactly what he was talking about. By the following weekend, he had almost talked himself out of it. Grief did strange things to people. Maybe Kyle had only hesitated because talking about anything unusual in the house felt wrong after losing his father. Maybe Andrew was reading too much into a few seconds of silence. That explanation lasted until Saturday night. The weekend started like every other. Diane left for work. Andrew and Kyle stayed up too late playing video games and watching television. They joked about monster movies and argued about which local haunted places were worth visiting once they both had driver's licenses. For most of the evening, everything felt normal. Then Andrew noticed something he couldn't ignore. Kyle never looked down the hallway. It wasn't obvious at first. Most people didn't spend much time staring into dark hallways in the middle of the night. But once Andrew noticed it, he couldn't stop noticing it. Whenever he got up for a drink or walked to the bathroom, his eyes naturally drifted toward the darkness beyond the living room. Kyle's never did. It was as though he deliberately avoided looking in that direction. The observation bothered Andrew enough that he finally brought it up. Kyle immediately shrugged it off. The explanation came too quickly. He claimed the hallway simply creeped him out. The answer sounded reasonable enough, but Andrew could tell it wasn't the truth. The subject ended there, at least for the moment. That night passed without incident. There were no strange sounds, no opening doors, and no figures standing in hallways. By Sunday afternoon, Andrew was beginning to wonder if he had imagined the entire thing. The following weekend, however, he arrived determined to get answers. Saturday night settled into its usual routine. Diane left for work shortly before 10. The boys spent several hours playing games and watching television before eventually winding down. Around midnight, Andrew decided to stop avoiding the subject. He didn't mention the figure directly. Instead, he asked whether anything strange had ever happened in the house. The denial came too quickly. For weeks, Andrew had watched his cousin avoid the topic whenever anything unusual came up. He had seen the hesitation in the hallway after breakfast. He had noticed the way Kyle refused to look down the hall at night. By now, he was certain of one thing. Kyle knew more than he was admitting. For a moment, neither of them spoke. Then something changed. The defensive expression Kyle always wore whenever the subject came up finally disappeared. What replaced it surprised Andrew. It was relief. The look reminded him of someone who had spent years carrying around a secret and had suddenly realized he no longer had to carry it alone. Andrew described what he had seen the previous weekend. The opening bedroom door, the figure standing partially hidden behind it, the gesture that seemed to be telling him to stay quiet. When he finished, Kyle simply nodded. That was all the confirmation Andrew needed. Over the next hour, the story slowly came out. The figure wasn't new, and it hadn't appeared after Tom died. According to Kyle, it had been showing up for most of his life. The first sighting happened when he was 8 years old. He woke during the night and saw someone standing in the hallway outside his bedroom. At the time, he thought an intruder had somehow gotten into the house. The next morning, he told his parents, who searched the entire house and found nothing. Months later, it happened again, then again. Sometimes years passed between sightings. Sometimes several occurred within a few months. The details were always similar. The figure never spoke. It never entered a room. It never threatened anyone. Most of the time, it simply stood at a distance before disappearing. As Kyle talked, Andrew began understanding things that had never made sense before. The hallway light that always seemed to be left on, the habit of sleeping with his bedroom door closed, and the way he avoided looking toward certain parts of the house after dark suddenly fit together. Those weren't random habits. They were adaptations. Over the years, Kyle had quietly built routines around something he couldn't explain. What surprised Andrew most was that his cousin no longer seemed particularly frightened by it. The sightings had terrified him when he was younger. For years, he slept with lights on and hated walking through the house alone at night. Eventually, however, something changed. Nothing ever happened. The figure never hurt anyone. It never approached anyone. It never touched anything. After enough years, fear gradually gave way to curiosity, and eventually even the curiosity faded. The figure became another unexplained part of life, something that existed in the background, whether anyone understood it or not. Listening to him, Andrew wasn't sure whether that made him feel better or worse. The conversation continued long after the television stopped playing in the background. For the first time, Andrew realized how much effort Kyle had spent pretending everything was normal. What had always looked like ordinary habits now seemed different. The hallway light that never got turned off, the closed bedroom door, and the reluctance to walk through certain parts of the house after dark suddenly made sense. Eventually, the house settled into silence. A few minutes later, a soft creak echoed from somewhere down the hallway. Both cousins stopped talking immediately. Neither needed to ask whether the other had heard it. For several seconds, they sat perfectly still, listening. When Andrew looked over, he saw something he had never seen before. Kyle looked genuinely frightened, not unsettled or uneasy, but truly afraid. The color had drained from his face and his eyes remained fixed on the darkness beyond the living room. Andrew felt his stomach tighten. Something was wrong. According to everything Kyle had just told him, the figure always behaved the same way. It appeared in hallways and doorways, watched from a distance, and eventually disappeared. It never approached anyone. It never entered rooms. Most importantly, it never interacted with the house itself. The creaking sound they were listening to now had come from Diane's bedroom. Slowly, both boys turned toward the hallway. The bedroom door stood open. Neither of them had seen it move. Neither of them had heard footsteps. One moment it had been closed, and the next it wasn't. For several seconds, they simply stared. Then Andrew noticed something standing beyond the doorway. A dark figure remained partially hidden inside the room. At first, he thought it was looking at them, but after a moment, he realized that wasn't true. The figure's attention seemed focused farther down the hallway, beyond Diane's room, and into a section of darkness neither boy could fully see from where they sat. The longer Andrew watched, the more unsettled he became. The figure wasn't standing there like it had the first night, and it wasn't watching them, it was watching something else. Neither Andrew nor Kyle spoke. The silence stretched for several long seconds before another sound drifted through the house. So this one came from farther down the hallway, a faint scrape, then another. The noise sounded as though something had moved against the wall. Andrew glanced toward Kyle. His cousin had gone completely still. For years, Kyle had been living with the figure. He had accepted it as part of the house. He had grown accustomed to seeing it appear and disappear without explanation. Yet whatever was happening now clearly frightened him. That realization hit Andrew harder than the sounds themselves. The figure wasn't the thing Kyle feared. The figure was the thing that usually appeared when everything else was quiet. For the first time since the conversation began, Andrew found himself wondering if they had been asking the wrong question all along. Maybe they shouldn't have been trying to figure out what the figure was. Maybe they should have been asking what it was watching. Neither Andrew nor Kyle moved. The scraping sound came again. It wasn't loud, but after everything that had happened, neither of them could ignore it. The noise came from somewhere farther down the hallway, beyond Diane's room and beyond the place where the figure stood partially hidden, in the doorway. Andrew couldn't take his eyes off it, and for the first time he was close enough to study it properly. Even now he couldn't make out any real details. The shape looked human, but it wasn't solid. It seemed to blend into the darkness around it in a way that made it difficult to focus on for very long. What bothered him most was where it was looking. The figure wasn't watching them. Its attention remained fixed on something farther down the hallway. Another scraping sound echoed through the house. Kyle slowly stood. Andrew followed. Neither spoke. The figure remained motionless as they crossed the living room and stepped into the hallway. A few seconds later, another sound came from the back of the house. There was no mistaking it now. Something was definitely there. The figure finally moved, turned, and began moving slowly toward the far end of the hallway. Against every instinct telling them to stay put, Andrew and Kyle followed. The figure continued toward a small storage room near the back of the house. The door stood partially open. Old boxes filled most of the space, along with holiday decorations and years of forgotten belongings. Another scraping sound came from inside. The figure stopped beside the doorway. Then it vanished. 1 second it was there, the next it wasn't. Neither boy moved. Another noise came from inside the room. Kyle finally reached for the light switch. The overhead bulb flickered on. For a moment, neither of them understood what they were seeing. Then a large raccoon burst from behind a stack of boxes. Both boys jumped backward as the animal raced across the room, scattering decorations before squeezing through a damaged section of screen near a small window. Within seconds, it disappeared into the night. Silence returned. Then both of them started laughing. The laughter came from relief more than anything else. For several minutes, they had imagined every possible explanation except the obvious one. Eventually, the laughter faded. That was when both boys realized the same thing, and the raccoon explained the noises. It didn't explain the figure. Neither needed to say it aloud. If the figure hadn't appeared, they never would have investigated. They would have remained in the living room while the trapped animal continued crashing through boxes in the darkness. The rest of the night passed quietly. Neither of them slept much. By morning, the story sounded less frightening than it had during the night. Diane believed the raccoon explanation immediately. The figure was another matter. Still, Andrew noticed something. When Kyle admitted he had been seeing the figure since childhood, Diane didn't seem surprised. Several weeks later, Andrew finally asked her about it. At first, she dismissed the question. Then she admitted there was something she had never told either of them. When she was young, her grandmother occasionally spoke about seeing a figure standing in hallways during difficult periods of her life. The stories usually surfaced during illnesses, deaths in the family, or other hardships. The details varied, but certain parts never changed. There was always a figure. There was always the feeling of being watched, and there was never any indication that it meant harm. Diane admitted she always treated the stories as family folklore. Even when Kyle began describing what he was seeing as a child, she assumed he was having vivid dreams. Now she wasn't so sure. Years passed. The grief surrounding Tom's death gradually softened. Kyle grew older. Andrew visited less often. Eventually, those weekends became memories rather than routines. Yet Andrew never completely forgot the figure. What stayed with him wasn't fear. It was the realization that the figure had been there long before Tom died. According to Kyle, it had appeared for years. According to Diane's grandmother, it may have appeared for generations. Whatever it was, it didn't seem connected to a single tragedy. It seemed connected to the family itself. Andrew never saw it again. Kyle occasionally mentioned catching glimpses of it over the years, but the sightings became increasingly rare. Even then, the details never changed. The figure never approached anyone. It never spoke. It never behaved in a threatening way. It simply watched. Years later, Andrew still couldn't explain what it was or why it appeared. The only thing he knew for certain was that nothing bad ever seemed to follow its presence. On one night, when two frightened teenagers sat wondering what was moving through the darkness of an old house, the figure had quietly led them to the answer. Maybe that was coincidence, maybe it wasn't. Andrew couldn't say. What he did know was that every story he heard about the figure ended the same way. Someone would see it. Someone would wonder about it. Then life would move forward and the figure would quietly disappear once more into the background. The mystery remained, and somehow that seemed enough.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluff Mobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on Spin Quest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to spinquest.com right now.
Spin Quest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.